Briefly, I know we've done a lot of standing, but in honor of the Word of God, let's look to the book of Isaiah. And want to say, if you're new to Heaven View, in just a little bit of time, I know at the end of the message, some may slip out because of scheduling and all that, and that's fine. But if you would like to stay and pray, you saw us praying up here just a few moments ago. That's not some trick to make you join the church. We just believe that Jesus answers prayer. And all around you are testimonies of the miracle-working power of God. You don't have to be a member. You don't have to promise to give or come back. But join us at the altar one more time. We'll pray with you for God to do everything that He has planned for you on this great day. Isaiah 55 and verse number 9. Isaiah 55 and verse number 9. Speaking of God, the Bible says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So we serve an awesome God. And I know there's a lot of smart people in here, but He's smarter than the smartest person here. And there are a lot of talented, gifted people here, but I want you to know Jesus can do more with you than you can even do with yourself. And this verse says, His thoughts and His ways are even higher than your best idea about how to proceed in your life. So I want to preach to you about that for a little while from this thought. I think, and this is a little bit of a switch from this phrase, I think, therefore, I can. I think, therefore, I can. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us right now. Lord Jesus, I want the power of your Spirit to minister through your word. I want lives to be changed. I want there to be miracles by the word of God in the lives of people. I honor you for your presence, Lord. God, I can do nothing without you, Lord. But if you will anoint and help us today, let there be miracles, Lord, in Jesus' name. Can you shout in Jesus' name? God bless you. You may be seated. I sincerely doubt that I could ever be accused of being an expert in philosophy. My philosophical musings are very limited for a lot of reasons we don't have time to explore today. But I'm going to try to be a little bit philosophical and throw out, at least in my limited thinking, some thoughts that will cause you to ponder. And I know that can be dangerous, but let's give it a try together. Here we go. If a fly loses its wings, does it become a walk? I'm trying to be philosophical for you today for just a minute. How about this one? And I've thought about this on many occasions. Somebody here has also thought about this, and you don't have to embarrass yourself by raising your hand. What if the hokey pokey really is what it's all about? Then we should turn ourselves around. So I have proven to you that I'm really not an expert philosopher. But I have considered today the words of one philosopher. And from his musings, we come up with the phrase, I think, therefore I am. And I use that phrase just to capture the idea that, by and large, mankind is generally impressed with how we think. Really. Sometimes you look in the mirror and you're like, man, you the man. You're sitting at the desk and you've helped that situation in the office and you wish your hand was big enough to really pat yourself on the back. And that's not limited to you. That seems to be the idea of the whole planet, that we're pretty smart as a people, that together or even individually, there is power in our thoughts. This same philosopher that said, I think, therefore I am, or at least where we get that from. He said this. Now, I don't pretend to understand what he's saying. I'm just going to read it. He said, there is a deceiver supremely powerful and cunning whose aim is to see that I am always deceived But surely I exist if I am deceived. In simple terms, he was saying there is a force in nature, or a deception, if you will, from some source that tries to convince me that I don't exist. But he said, I've figured out. If I'm even thinking I don't exist, I must exist because I'm thinking about it. And so from there, we can say, I think, therefore I am. But I want you to know, no matter how powerful we may think about how we think, we need to acknowledge that the scripture helps us understand that we are limited, and that's okay. We are limited, and don't be afraid. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now you think about that for a moment. That seems to lend credence to the power of personal thought. But at the same time, the same book says this, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is a way of death. And so I want to be careful here, because I'm certainly not trying to diminish the value of human thought. Thinking is good. I thought I'd get a few more amens. It's good to think. It's helpful. In fact, everybody should try it. Haven't you ever found yourself saying, at least to yourself, what was I thinking? And so thinking is good. Thinking is helpful. In fact, one philosopher said, did you ever stop to think and forget to start again? I can't even grasp that thought, but the point is this, there is a value to your thinking and my thinking individually and collectively. I believe God has created us with the ability to think our way into some areas of blessing for ourselves and for others. Human thought is incredible, but human thought is not infallible. And so that's the context with which I want you to look back at Isaiah the prophet when he says, and we're going to pick up at verse number 6. He says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. And look what God will do. He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. In that context, God proclaims, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. In other words, no matter how smart you may be, no matter how smart I might pretend to be, sooner or later, in fact, it's best if it's sooner, I'm going to discover that he is a lot smarter than I am. And when I reach a situation where I am reaping the results of something I thought was a good idea, but it wasn't a God idea, that's the time to say, Jesus, have mercy on me. And help me, even help me when it comes to myself. That's why we've been focusing on this thought, thinking for a change. And not just thinking for a change, but thinking for a change. Look at Romans 12 again. New Living Translation. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. On the surface, there are some that might take a little bit of offense or at least perhaps even push off that passage as though it might not be important, because after all, I've done pretty good in my way of thinking for quite a while. But the scripture indicates that we need to have the kind of humility to say, Lord, here are my thoughts, but your thoughts are way higher than my thoughts. Here are my ways. Here's a pile of my ways, but God, your ways are much better than my ways. And so in my Christian experience, I want to have the attitude of humility that says, Lord, you continually change me by changing the way that I think. So even though I'm pretty smart, I've gotten through some things in life on my own, I know that you can do better with me than I can do with myself. What a way to approach the Bible. What a way to approach the service of Christianity. What a way for you and I to live for Jesus by saying, God, I acknowledge your ways, your thoughts, your plans. Dare I say, your word is way better at life than anything I can come up with outside of your word. So I just surrender my thoughts. I surrender my ways. In fact, take it to another level. Forgive me, Jesus, for any thought that doesn't line up with your word. Forgive me, Jesus, for any way that doesn't line. I'm not talking about maybe when you first come to the Lord. I'm talking about make it a daily practice. Jesus, search my heart and see if there be any wicked way in me. I'm talking about on a particular Sunday when you stumbled into church and you start feeling the Lord tugging at your heart. Don't ignore it. Don't let thoughts race through your mind that distract you. Instead, focus and say, today is my day to say, God, on my best day, you're a lot smarter than I am. So here I am today, and I'm going to be honest with you, God. I need your way. I need your will. I need your word. You say in Jesus' name, because his thoughts are higher. His ways are higher. Now, I picked three areas. Real quickly, I'm going to throw out some information about these three areas, but three areas that I have discovered that his ways and his thoughts are so much higher than my natural inclination when I think on these things. The first one's going to stress some of you out when I just say the word, but remember, I'm going to talk about three, so I'll probably get through the first one real fast. The first one is giving. Everybody say giving. I'm just going to tell you, what the Bible says about giving is way different than what I think about giving sometimes. Now, I'm not going to preach about giving, but I just want to use one scripture or one passage to show you how vastly different God's ways are than the typical way of a lot of people. This is found in the Old Testament, 1 Kings. There's severe drought, severe famine. People are starving to death. And the Lord says to the prophet, you go to a city called Zarephath, and I want you to know I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. 1 Kings 17 and verse 9. Everybody's starving to death, but I got this little widow lady. Preacher, she's going to take care of you. That's God's ways. And so look at the next passage and the rest of this passage. It says the prophet went and he got to the gate of the city. There was the widow woman there gathering sticks. And the preacher called to her and said, come on, I pray you would just get me a little water in a vessel that I might drink. And as she was going to get that water for the prophet, he called to her and said, and I pray you would bring to me a morsel of bread in your hand. Just give me a little something to eat. And here the widow woman said, as the Lord God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. This widow woman was in bad shape. And the preacher come along with a blessing, with a word from God for her. And the word is, I know you're going to die because you're starving to death. I know you're making the last meal for you and your boy, but feed the preacher first. No doubt that widow was thinking, have you seen that preacher? He probably could do for skipping a few meals. I thought there was a famine, but he's finding food somewhere. I don't know if she said all of that, but anyway. But look at what the prophet says. In the next verse, Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. And this is the key verse. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. I'm trying to tell somebody, your way is right here, but his way is so much higher. Your thoughts are right here, but his thoughts are so much higher. And he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, I'm not preaching about giving. There's so many verses about giving, but I am preaching the simple concept. As smart as I am, I'm going to run into a conflict between me and God, and what area might be giving where he expects me to obey his word and trust in him. But my way of thinking says I've got to look out for me first and not the kingdom of God first. And I just got to admit, Lord, this is a little bit scary, but not my will, but thine be done. I'm going to do what your word says, no matter what I think about it, because I know your thoughts are so much higher than my thoughts. Your ways are so much higher than my ways. Would you take a moment and say, Jesus, when it comes to giving, help me to do it your way. Jesus, when it comes to giving, help me to trust you with my life. Jesus, when it comes to my need and the challenges that I face, just the regular life situations that make me feel fear and uncertainty about the future, teach me how to trust in you. Can you say in Jesus' name? So there's another area of giving that I want to throw out here, and this is point number two. Not just giving, but as we spoke about last week, what about forgiving? Isn't it true that when it comes to this business of forgiveness, our thoughts are here, but his thoughts, I mean, even those of us that are just brilliant, look up here for an example. Even on my best day, when I'm trying to be like the Lord, when I'm trying to obey his word, sure enough, there will come some point in the situation where I will face a circumstance where I will think, well, I can forgive this, but I don't know if I can forgive that. And all I'm saying, and I preached about forgiveness last week, but what I'm saying is let's be honest and admit that in order for us to get the blessing that God has for us, we're going to have to realize, oh God, your thoughts are way higher than my thoughts. Your ways are way higher than my ways. So in this instance where I've got to make a choice, am I going to forgive? Oh yes, not because I feel like it, not because it makes sense, but I'm just going to obey your word, because every time I obey your word, I'm surrendering my way for God's way. I'm yielding my thoughts for his thoughts. And when it comes to giving, I want to do it his way. And when it comes to forgiving, I want to do it his way. Praise the name of the Lord. Because the scripture says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. So close your eyes for just a moment. It's been a long week. And just pray a simple prayer. Jesus, nobody owes me an apology. Nobody owes me an explanation. Nobody owes me appreciation. Nobody owes me respect. Nobody owes me even assistance. Lord Jesus, I want to release everybody from everything that they might do against me, because I want to be released, Lord, from everything I've done against you. I want to forgive others, God, because I want you to forgive me. If you prayed that prayer right where you're seated, I wonder if you would thank the Lord for Calvary right now. Thank the Lord for Calvary right now. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let me tell you my story. The grace of God is what gives me the opportunity to be here to share his word. Can you say in Jesus' name? So I'm just saying, when it comes to giving, his thoughts are way above our thoughts. When it comes to forgiving, his thoughts are way above our thoughts. And finally, you thought the other two were rough. This one can hit you pretty hard depending on what you're going through. When it comes to thanksgiving, his thoughts are way above my thoughts. The scripture says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Now, God, I thought it was your will for me to get that promotion. But I didn't get that promotion. In fact, that guy don't even go to church got the promotion. And so now I'm supposed to thank you? I'm telling you, I'm pretty smart, but my thoughts are here. His thoughts are way up there. But he says, in everything, give thanks. God, I came to the altar on Sunday, and everybody knew I was sick. I had told some people close to me in the church to pray for me. And man, they prayed, and it felt so powerful. But the doctor just told me it's getting worse. It was supposed to get better. Because you are a healer. By your stripes, I am healed. And yet, Jesus, until you finish your work in this situation, you've challenged me. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. And so, God, I'm just going to step out on a limb, and I'm going to admit your thoughts are way higher than my thoughts. Your ways are way higher than my ways. And so, God, I don't feel like being thankful. I don't think I want to be thankful, but I'm going to surrender my ways for your word, surrender my thoughts for your will. And in everything, I'm going to give you thanks, because even though there's sickness, this is the will of God that I would be thankful. Even though there's circumstance, this is the will of God that I would be thankful. And if I want to discover your purpose through my pain, I'm going to praise you. This would be a great time to give the Lord the sacrifice of praise. I'm hurting, but he's worthy. I'm not sure, but I trust him. I'm confused, but he's awesome. Oh, would you clap your hands and would you shout with your voice? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for loving me and helping me. And so, my brothers and sisters, I don't think this way, but his thoughts, wow, they're way up there. And so count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. In other words, I don't know why I'm going through this. And as much as I think about it, I still can't figure it out. But I do know this, his thoughts are higher than my thoughts. So since I have reached the end of what I can figure out, since I have reached the end of my intellectual ability, no matter how superior I thought it was, was, all I'm going to do is trust him and thank him, because I'm going to depend on his thoughts and his ways, and I'm going to give thanks when I don't feel like being thankful, when it doesn't make sense to give thanks. I'm going to give, I'm going to forgive, and I'm going to have thanksgiving, because his thoughts have never let me down before. His ways have never let me down before. The old timers would sing it this way: in the good times, bless his name, but in the bad times, do the same. In everything, give the King of Kings all the thanks. Amen? Because as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And even though we do not naturally think to give thanks in the trial, we can trust his thoughts. We can trust his ways. Can you say amen? Amen. And here's the thing. It really does seem to hold true, that simple phrase, I think, therefore I am. But don't limit yourself to your thoughts. It's even true, it seems, I think, therefore I can. Remember that old story? I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. But don't limit what you can do to your own thoughts. Because who you are and what you can do has the ability to grab a hold of a thought process that's way above your own. And you can begin to meditate upon the Word of God. And you can say, if his thoughts are higher than my thoughts, who I am is not limited to what I think. If his thoughts are higher than my thoughts, then what I can do is not limited to what I think I can do. And I do believe the old axiom that you can sow a thought and reap an action, and you can sow an action and reap a habit, and you can sow a habit and reap a character, and you can sow a character and reap a destiny. And I do believe it all starts with our thinking, but I also believe if I can start thinking what his word says, if I can start thinking the way he thinks, if I can let his word and his spirit direct me so that I focus on the reality that my thinking is tied to who I am and what I can do, so I'm not going to limit myself by what I think. Because the reality is this, and this is so important. I mentioned giving, and I mentioned forgiving, and I mentioned thanksgiving, because our giving is so intertwined with our living. Life is not about what you have. Life is not about what you get. Life is about what you give. And if you let your giving and your forgiving and your thanksgiving be limited by your thoughts that are great and noble and sometimes brilliant, but they're so low compared to his thoughts, if you limit your giving, you will limit your living. But if you can step up to life with a mentality, I'm just going to trust the word of God, I'm just going to obey the word of God, I tell you, it will elevate your giving, it will elevate your forgiving, it will elevate your thanksgiving. No matter what you go through, no matter what you have or what you don't have, if you will just make up your mind, I'm not going to live by my limited thoughts, I'm going to live by his thoughts that are way higher than my thoughts. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Because here's the thing, as the musicians come, as I focus on giving, really the focus is not just on the giving you're doing. I want you to focus on the giving he's doing. Because the Bible says God so loved the world that he gave. What an awesome God. He gives so much. And one scripture says this in James 1, every good and perfect gift comes from above. It cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In other words, if you can find it in the Word of God, you can experience in your life, because He is a God that's proven over and over again. He wants to give to us. He wants to give to you. But I beg you, don't limit your understanding of what God wants to give to just your thoughts. Get in the Word of God and capture His thoughts. Because as much as you think God wants to give you anything, He has thoughts that are way above your thoughts. Jesus said it this way. We find it in the book of Matthew. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good gifts to them that ask? And then in Luke 11, Jesus Christ said this, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. Your life is not just about what you give. It's about what He gives. And your giving is limited by your thinking about giving. And His giving can be limited by your thinking about giving. Because he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. How many things are in the Bible right now that even good people, perhaps even Christian people, might read and say, that's probably not for me. That's not for our day. Or that's not for regular people. That was for the people in the Bible. Or that's for people that are maybe higher ups in some religious hierarchy. Oh, no. Don't limit His giving by your limited thinking. Instead, recognize His thoughts are so high. His ways are so high. And so, God, if it's in the Bible, I want it in my life. If it's in the Bible, I want to experience. Come on, I want to tell you today, this is still one of those old-fashioned churches that believes in repentance, because we believe sincerely that when you repent, He will forgive every single time. This is one of those old-fashioned churches where we still baptize people by immersion in the name of Jesus, because we still believe that when you're baptized in water, not only are your sins forgiven, but they are washed away. Now, if you try to think through that, it's possible some doubts might enter in. If you start to try to calculate that and analyze that, you may come away saying, well, that baptism's so inconvenient and nobody wants to go through all that trouble. Come on, don't limit what God wants to give you by your limited thinking. Instead, say, if it's in the Bible, I want it in my life. And He's a giving God, and He wants to give to me. And then when you focus on the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, even the scriptural revelation that when people receive the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, they can speak with other tongues. How many good people start thinking about that and they think, oh, I don't know about that. That sounds kind of different. That sounds kind of scary. How many sincere people do not receive from God, even though He wants to give, but they limit His giving by their thinking, instead of saying, God, your thoughts are so much higher. Your ways are so much higher. So right here, when everybody else is praying, I'm just going to begin to pray the way I know how to pray. And when I pray, I'm going to talk to you, Jesus, in the language I understand. And I'm going to ask you to empty me of my thoughts and empty me of my ways. In fact, I'm going to ask you, Lord, to forgive me for anything, any doubt, any fear, any anxiety that keeps me from a miracle today. And I'm just going to give you praise. I'm going to give you worship so that you can give me what you have promised me. All over the building, right where you're seated, would you say, Jesus, pour out your spirit upon all of us today. In your own way of praying, in your own way of processing the word of God, would you pray right now, Jesus, just like it's promised in your word, pour out your spirit upon everybody, Lord. Give us all more of you. And while you're praying that way, would you pray, Lord, if there's anybody that's sick here, help them, Lord, to receive their healing today, because they do not limit your giving to them by thoughts of doubt and thoughts of fear, and thoughts of anxiety. They simply trust the word of God to receive the miracle that you have for them. And although I believe that God has a miracle for somebody right now, I don't want you to miss that there's also a miracle that's unfolding in the lives of people that every day you wake up, you make a commitment. Jesus, your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. Jesus, your ways are higher than my ways. So by your spirit, prompt me throughout this day to make decisions that please you, to make choices that honor you, and help me to live with an expectation, God, that you're going to do something supernatural with my life. Because of all the ways that God would give, he wants to give promises and purposes to people in this place that can make your life powerful for him. Because the Bible says, and I close with this verse, God is speaking to each of us when he says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Or as one translation says, to give you a happy ending. Who's here today? Who's here right now? You don't have to raise your hand, but when all of us come forward in just a moment, you can come and pray and say, God, I'm not going to limit my prayers to my own way of thinking. I'm not going to limit my expectations to your working in my life, to my own way of thinking. Instead, I'm going to believe your word, that you're thinking about me, God, and the thoughts that you have toward me are way higher than even the thoughts I have about myself. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil. You've got a happy ending for me, Lord, through this trial, through this test, through all the confusion and the chaos. I'm not going to limit my life to what I think you can do. I'm going to trust in your word. Would you stand right now? And everybody that knows how to pray, would you pray for the presence of the Lord to begin to saturate this sanctuary so that everybody here can receive a miracle from God today, so that everybody here can receive a blessing from the Lord today. Now I want to invite our congregation to lead the way, to come and put your faith in the Lord for any need that you have, to come and put your confidence in God. As the congregation comes, any guest that wants to come, you can join us, and you're simply saying, Lord, by coming to the altar today, I'm acknowledging that no matter what I think about my life, no matter what I think about my walk with you, no matter what I think even about Christianity, your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. Your ways are above my ways. And so I want to surrender my limitations, and I want to trust you for purpose, and I want to trust you for promises. I want to trust you for the supernatural. I want to see your power working in my life. Oh, there's a beautiful touch of the Spirit of God here. There's a wonderful touch of the power of God here. Now, if you've come to the altar, I urge you to lift your voice as you pray. Don't limit your prayer right now to, I wonder what people around me might think. I wonder what people around me might say. Come on, don't worry about thinking that is lower than the thinking that God has for you. Because God would say to you today, if you will call on my name, I will bless you. If you will call on my name, I will hear you. If you will call on my name, I will touch your life with my power today.